Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I had the chance to sit down and talk with Philadelphia Orchestra Principal Percussion Chris DeVinny about the concerto he arranged using the music of Pat Metheny. I asked him first how this project came to be.
Well, I've always been a huge Pat Metheny fan. I first was introduced to his music back in high school, and I just think he's one of the more creative forces, definitely in the jazz world, but even by today's standards, the term jazz has morphed into so many different variations that it's hard to actually categorize his music as jazz. What struck me about these three particular compositions of his that I then incorporated into a concerto form were these three particular pieces to me sounded the most symphonic in nature. And I got the idea that maybe there's a way to actually arrange them for orchestra and percussion soloists. Now, most people think percussion soloists as rhythmic instruments as opposed to melodic instruments, but I was thinking melodically, as in marimba and vibraphone, playing melodies like any other melodic instrument. So I decided to do it as a duo concerto, one person playing marimba, one person playing vibraphone. My colleague Shi-Yi Wu played marimba, I played vibraphone. And those are the soloists for these three tunes that I then arranged for orchestra, and that's how the project started.
When you say these pieces sounded more symphonic, what do you mean?
Well, the Pat Metheny group has players in it, sometimes six, seven players, and all playing different instruments. Some are vocalists, some are percussionists, some are keyboard players, guitarists of all different makes and models. And synthesizers are added. So he has a wide variety of textures that he has used over the years that make up the Pat Metheny group. These particular tunes didn't sound like a jazz combo per se. They sounded like a much larger ensemble. And in my mind, I pictured an orchestra because there are literally, at times, symphonic string sounds. There's brass sounds, woodwinds. And so I felt, even though they're synthesized on his recording, I felt like they're synthesizing sounds that I play with every day in the Philadelphia Orchestra. So that's why I decided to arrange it for a full orchestra.
What was your approach then in orchestrating it? Was it a matter of taking the instruments that sounded like strings and giving them to the strings, and instruments that sounded like woodwinds giving them to the woodwinds? How did you make your choices?
Yes, basically that. I tried to stay as true to the recording as I could. My feeling is that there are plenty of Pat Metheny fans that are possibly unfamiliar with the Kimmel Center and Verizon Hall where the Philadelphia Orchestra plays. Consequently, there are people who come to hear us at Verizon Hall who might not be familiar with Pat Metheny's music. My theory is that those two audiences actually have more in common with each other than they think they do. And I think that this was my attempt to try to introduce to a Philadelphia Orchestra audience the music of Pat Metheny, who they might not be familiar with.
And you made it for vibraphone and marimba.
Yes, those are the two solo instruments. There's also a third instrument called a mallet cat, which is a display of a mallet instrument like a vibraphone or marimba, but it's an electronic form. It's a MIDI controller, M-I-D-I, which is an acronym, stands for Musical Instrument Data Interface. So essentially, it's an electronic instrument that is a synthesizer that you can program any sound you want. And what I have done is I've come up with a sound pre-recorded, or pre-programmed, I should say, that is very close to a signature sound that Pat Metheny is known for with his guitar, which is a guitar synth that he uses a lot.
So the guitar line is played by this instrument?
Yes, yes. I'm playing essentially his guitar line on a completely different instrument, even though it sounds very similar to what his would be.
So just to back up for 1 second, could we talk about the differences between a marimba and a vibraphone?
Yeah. So the difference between a marimba and vibraphone, there are a couple of things. First of all, the two instruments are made of completely different materials. Marimba is made of rosewood, and it's basically a very large and extended range xylophone. A vibraphone, though, the bars that we strike are not made of wood at all. They're made of metal, and they have a sustained quality to them, and it operates with a foot pedal, much like a piano does. When you press down the pedal of a piano, whatever note you play resonates. It sustains. Same with the vibraphone. When you press the pedal down, the note that you strike sustains. And that's what gives it its characteristic sound. There are also fan blades within the resonator tubes of a vibraphone that rotate, and it gives it a sense of a false vibrato. That's actually where it got its name, vibraphone, because it vibrates, essentially, like a vibrato would. And those two instruments are the primary solo instruments within the piece.
So the solo marimba and vibraphone are playing lines that were written by Matheny for bass or piano or guitar.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so then you have a third instrument called a mallet cat,
yes.
Which also looks like a large, well, xylophone or mallet instrument. Could you describe that?
There are rubber pads on it, and because it's in the same white key, black key array as a piano, it looks like any other mallet percussion instrument that we might play, glockenspiel, xylophone, marimba, vibraphone. However, these particular pads are assigned a specific sound that I have pre-programmed and am using with my laptop, actually. And the laptop is generating, through the program, the sound that I want. The keyboard that I'm playing on with the rubber pads that looks like a mallet keyboard is actually a MIDI controller, which is then emitting those sounds.
So is this a new instrument?
It's definitely something new for the Philadelphia Orchestra. I don't think it's ever been performed with the Philadelphia Orchestra. It's been around now for, I would say, probably a good 20 to 25 years. It has gotten more and more sophisticated, more advanced, more reliable. They're used a lot in Broadway pits for space reasons, because this same instrument you can program to sound like a Japanese odaiko drum, or you could use it to sound like a big tam-tam gong. Many electronic drum sets work on the same purpose. Pads that you strike with pre-programmed sounds.
So in this piece, some of the solos are taken by this
instrument. Actually, just one solo in the third movement, my solo. This is actually kind of like my own personal tribute to Pat, and any Pat Metheny fan who's actually at the concert, I think, will get a kick out of hearing a very similarly close Pat Metheny sound within a piece that's written for vibraphone and marimba.
So have you been in touch with Pat Metheny?
Yeah, I have, actually. Before I even started this project, years ago, I went to a concert and talked to him afterwards just to get his input if he thought this was okay for me to pursue. I told him the three tunes I was thinking about. He quickly thought for a second, and he said, yeah, I think those would work. That was about 9 years ago. Yeah, so it's been a while.
How did you go about it?
Well, I instantly started working on it at my house, transcribing it, trying to understand harmonically everything that was going on, putting it into a computer program, a music writing program called Finale. I got about 85% of it done. The project was green-lighted, but then it got shelved through a series of resignations of music directors and new music director candidates that really did not want to program it because they want to program their own specific concert. And this was a wild card, a new piece. And so through a series of delays, ultimately, Yannick, our music director currently, thought it was worth doing, and I'm really grateful. That's how it ultimately got programmed, was Yannick's approval.
Well, it seems sort of natural, actually, in retrospect, that a percussionist would do something like this, because you often are making different sounds. Whenever there's a new sound, I understand, percussionists usually are the ones to create it.
Yeah, well, I would say most composers consider percussion to be the last frontier, final frontier in composition. This was actually, though, mostly an attempt to introduce a love of mine, the music of Pat Metheny, to a new audience.
It's great sound, and we've been talking about the sound qualities and the exploration of different ways to make sound and how to mimic other instruments, but mimicry is also the basis for new sounds.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Conceptually, putting these three pieces together, what do they say to you? Is there a message musically?
The first piece, The Awakening, is basically an Irish jig. Across the sky is a very slow, kind of almost kind of wistful ballad that starts off actually with a lot of pitch bending on the guitar, which I'm also imitating on the vibraphone by using a rubber mallet, which will then, once I strike the bar with my regular vibraphone mallet, I take a rubber mallet and then push into the bar, which actually dips the pitch. So the pitch starts out, bah, it falls off. And that's actually imitating his guitar sound. That tune, Across the Sky, is kind of like the middle tune, which is oftentimes in concerto form. And traditionally, the middle movement is slower and more of a rubato feel. And then the third movement is The Heat of the Day, which was the first thing that really drew me to the project. And The Heat of the Day starts off with this kind of hocket clapping, like flamenco dance is known for, oftentimes by the guitarists. When they're not playing guitar, they're clapping off and off. And that's what starts The Heat of the Day. And so I would say, if anything, those three tunes represent, like a lot of Pat's music, a complete cross-section of many music of many cultures that he draws on.
So what's it like for you now, having worked so many years on this project, or at least thought about this project for so many years? What's it been like for you to hear it for the first time?
Well, I had a reading in December with one of the student orchestras at Temple University, so that was very enlightening for me, because trying to take something that already exists and then arrange it for a completely different ensemble with a lot more players has its challenges. I tended to over-orchestrate, and by that I mean some things were thicker sound-wise and balance-wise than I think that I intended. But the thing is, I love my colleagues in the orchestra. They're so great. They're such great musicians. My natural inkling was to have everybody play all the time. Let's like everybody play, you know? but there's a good reason why everybody's not playing all the time. And that's because it would be almost like a room full of people all talking at the same time. You wouldn't be able to actually hear the one or two people you really do want to hear. So I had to cut some of the orchestration out based on that reading in December. So that was very helpful. But now here it is March and the piece is being done. It's very daunting, quite honestly. I mean, I always hoped that the Philadelphia Orchestra might consider doing it, but it's actually here and it's being done. So it's a dream come true, really.
It's very exciting. It's just, I guess, an example of how music keeps reinventing itself, and the exploration of sound is a process that will just keep going.
Yeah, and I think the orchestra is no different, in the sense that new sounds and new sound concepts and new ideas should always be part of the exposure for a great ensemble that has hundreds of years of repertoire. To add new stuff just seems natural to me.
And it seems like Pat Metheny would be on board for that, because he said that at its best, music transcends style.
Oh, and that's what I meant by saying to call Pat Metheny a jazz artist seems almost not complete enough. His music to me is so much more than just the term jazz, as a lot of music is that people might refer to as jazz. I mean, it's gone through its own evolution. To me, jazz means more improvisatory in nature, but his music is more than just improvisatory. I mean, it's a real treat. If you ever get a chance to see him, you really should.
Well, thanks for sharing it with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Chris DeVinny.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.